Well, good morning, everybody. It is so nice to, see you. There are some of you who have snuck in here early. Good for you guys. Shh, don't tell anybody, like Pastor Gary said, but it's good to see you in person, live. I miss it. And I know many of you guys have been texting us saying that you did too. It's just great to be back here. So thankful for just the folks that have been sharing, for Lester, for Pastor Gary, the sanctuary, man, Lisa, Neely, Kim, Elijah, Hezekiah. I know there's been so many people, the Wendy Joe, the people working at the school. It's starting to make this place look amazing for this upcoming year. So what a fantastic thing. And we are in Psalm 5 today, so make sure, go grab your Bibles right now if you don't already have them. Go grab them, bring them back, because we want you to have the Word of God open for yourself. You and I need to be Bereans, is what they say. And the Bereans were of more noble character. They checked out what the pastor was saying, what the teacher was saying for themselves. So you want to always have your Bible open. So if you don't have a Bible, would you just let Pastor Gary or myself know, you know what we'll do? We will take the limited funds that we have, and we will buy you a Bible, free in Jesus' name. That's right. Free in Jesus' name. Well, Pastor, what if we're a part of the Facebook family? We're in other parts of Florida. What do we do? Where do we go? We're in other parts of the country. Listen, if you don't have a Bible in other parts of the country, if we can't, we're going to send it to you free as a gift in Jesus' name. Why? Because we know the Word of God hidden in our hearts changes lives. God didn't give us this Word of God to give us more information and to fill our minds. He gave us the Word of God so we would have transformation in our lives as we apply it, as we obey Him. That's what He wants from us. Now, we had a great, great illustration this morning for us. I know Pastor Gary had a great one last week. For Father's Day, and technically we couldn't get the software to work, and then we had a fantastic illustration for today, and we couldn't get that to work either, and so Pastor Gary, I think we're going to have to either find a way to do that, or we're going to have to change our media software completely and start it from scratch. We have to be able to do this so that we can present the illustrations that God has put upon our hearts for the people. Or we just have to switch our software around because the people need the Word of God and they need these illustrations that the Lord is putting on our hearts. And so, the Psalm 5 is about prayers in darker days for the embattled Christian. Now, I have to tell you, simply to be honest, I don't know about you, but and maybe it's just me. Maybe it's not you. Maybe 2020 has been a banner year for you. Maybe you have been blessed beyond measure. You haven't had a lot of difficulties. You haven't had a lot of struggles. The enemy hasn't been attacking. It's just been a prance through the posies for you. And if that's you, I don't want to take anything away from that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And that's fantastic. However, for some of us, for me, maybe for some of you out there, 2020 has been a rough year, if you know what I'm saying, right? There's been some darker days. I feel like an embattled Christian. I feel like more attacks have been coming from more areas than ever before. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've been wrestling and struggling through some things as well. Illustration. No. Video illustration. Now. You know, for me personally, God wants me to praise Him. God wants you. God wants us to praise Him in harder times, in trials, in darker times, just as much as He does in the wonderful times. Do you know what I'm saying? In the times of our life when we're tap dancing, in the times of our, not that anybody tap dances anymore, but you know what I'm saying, in the sunshine, shiny times of our life, and in the darky storms, we, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen? Even though we might wrestle and struggle. You know, 2020, it started off my 2020 started off right off the bat with being told that, hey, we found a giant mass on your kidney. I went in for a test and had nothing to do with this giant mass on my kidney. They found it by accident. Of course, we see God's hand in that. And it's a giant mass on there. We think it's cancerous. It may have spread. And you're going to die. That's probably unless it hasn't metastasized. And anyway, oh, well, that's certainly a weighty bit of news out of nowhere. And so you guys know the story. I went through. I did not die. It did not spread. God was able to take that thing out through the surgeons, and the surgeons said it was a fluke, but we know that it was faith. We know that it was God that revealed that that was there. He said, "Man, if you didn't find that, if we didn't find this by accident, you'd been dead." Ah. Okay, so that's how my year started. And then, as I was healing up, they released me too early. Bladder shut down, bowels shut down, body started shutting down, started hallucinating. I started dying. They rushed me back into the emergency room. Oh, my goodness, we made a mistake. And then it was another month of grueling healing up after a very, very rough time for me, for my family, just to be honest. But God was in it all. And here I was back before everybody. And so then all of a sudden, we're having a coronavirus. I thought, oh, okay, deadly virus, people dead. And I was told specifically, you need, because of your weakened immune system, your surgeries, your body shutdowns, if you happen to get this virus, you're going to die. So you have to be extra careful. So to be honest, I was extra careful. For months, we quarantined ourselves and our family. My poor kids quarantined themselves with us, okay? We went nowhere except to get food and to worship. And so we thought, and you know, it just so happens that I was exposed to one person who happened to have it. And so then I was quarantined for a month in a little room. And told, okay, with the thought of, if you get this, just want to let you know, you're going to die. That's what I was told. I actually went to the doctor. What can we do? What can we do in this situation if I do have it? Well, he basically told me nothing. And I'm not kidding you. He actually told me, what can we do? Nothing. Okay. Well, we know that's true because we know what we can do. We can pray, right? We can seek the Lord. And by God's grace and by God's mercy, he pulls me through again. CDC says, oh, great, you don't have it. You're good. You're fine. You've got antibodies. Now you can help other people. Woo-woo! Now there's riots in the street. I'm coming out of that, and there's cries to defund police departments. And what? Has the world gone crazy? Fighting in the streets and rioting, and what is going on? That's, for me, a 2020 to date. Now, I am so, after all, going through all this, can I just say to you, right in the camera, and to you here, I am so thankful for you, Jesus. I am so thankful for your faithfulness, Father. I bless you and praise you, and may your name and your word be glorified through any trial, through any tribulation, in a sense, through death do us part. And even then, we do not part, because he takes us on to eternity. So, you know what? With the Lord, all things are possible. And so we need to praise him in these dark days and in the joyful days. And this is what's happening in David's life in Psalm 5. He is wrestling with some terrible things. He's on the run. When I say on the run, I mean he is literally on the run. His own son has raised up an army, has spread a bunch of lies about him, those close to him. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. It's a terrible feeling. Has spread lies about him or tiny half-truths and made it into something it wasn't. And, oh, David doesn't care about you. King David does this. You need to follow me. And all of Israel was behind Absalom, his son, beside a few people. And David had to leave his city and was on the run. And We went through that in Psalm 3, the morning psalm, and Psalm 4, the evening song, and Psalm 5, most scholars think that's a part of this time period. When it actually happened, we don't know, but you can tell David's going through it. And listen, we just have to acknowledge that. Any Christian, any believer, any well-intended knucklehead pastor who tells you you become a Christian and you just have faith and everything's going to be prancy, posy, rosy, dozy all the days of your life, you can say that's not what the word says. That man is either a liar, a hypocrite, or he doesn't know any better. Because you're going to go through dark times and tough times, and persecutions even. And I want to prepare you. It may be coming. It may not be getting better on this earth. It may be getting worse. But the Lord is going to strengthen you more so to deal with this so that you, me, us, we can shine like a light, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. The darker it gets, the more the Lord wants you to shine for him. So that people can see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Say, oh man, I don't want this craziness, this lawlessness. I want Jesus, right? So listen, as we read through this psalm, you're going to see a lot of emotion, a lot of raw emotion, and God can take that. You're going to see emotion from David. You know, sometimes he'll, in his emotion, you know, shatter the teeth of the wicked, oh God, but I know you're righteous. Yeah, so you're going to see there's realness in it. And there's been times when I've been struggling with the you know, Lord. And you're going to see him do the same thing. So let's open and let's start reading in Psalm chapter 5. It starts off. I'll read verse 1 and 2, or part of 1 and 2. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. That's how he starts off. Listen. Give ear, Lord. Consider. Listen. He's crying out to the Lord. This is a broken man. This is a desperate man. This is a hurting man. But this is a man that knows where to go when he's in trouble. Right? He's not shaking his fist at God, walking the other way. He's on his face before the Lord. He's seeking him. He says, the first word that he even says here, and I love this, he says, give ears to my word, O Lord. That's kind of a, I don't know if some of your translations say something different, but that give ears in the Hebrew, it's an interesting word. That word where it says, give ear, or whatever your translation says. If I remember correctly, that Hebrew word is azan in Hebrew, okay? So this is what it means. We raise dogs in our home, okay? Sometimes that's wonderful, sometimes that's a pain. But if you have a dog, you've probably seen them do something like this, okay? Or if you have an animal, in Hebrew, the word literally means to perk up the ears. If you have a dog, and at night, I don't know if you have doggies, but you will see them do this with their ears, right? They'll be, you know, having fun, relaxing around. Then all of a sudden, they'll hear a noise. All of a sudden, you see their ears go whoosh, up like that. Have you ever seen that? You know what I'm talking about? They're like, they're really alert. They're really listening. That's the word, azan. It literally means, in Hebrew, to broaden the ear. What would be an example? Have you ever seen an old person and they you're talking to them and they bend over and they do this with their cup their hand, make their ear a little bit. What did you say, Sonny? What did you say? Right? That's what it means. Broaden your ear, O Lord. Perk up your ears. I'm desperate right now. I'm hurting. That's a reality right now. You may be desperate. You may be hurting. You may be crying out to the Lord like that. And that's okay. You're in a good spot because you're just like with David. He was doing the same thing. You're going to your Lord. You're going to your God. You're going to your King. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. I think that's Yahweh in the Hebrew. He says, consider my sighing. That word consider in the Hebrew is Beev, and it just means, or bean, actually, I'm sorry, bean. And it means to perceive, to discern, to understand, to realize. I think it was 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8, there was a time when Samuel was a little boy. He was a prophet. He was dedicated to the Lord, and the Lord started to speak to him, and he hadn't heard God's voice before. And so he heard the Lord calling out. He heard God calling his name, and Samuel would get up as a kid, as your age, and he would hear the Lord, and he would go into the high priest, Eli, and he would say, "Eli, you called for me. I heard you call my name." And Eli said, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." Do you remember that story? And he went back to bed, and three times, the third time, it says that the high priest realized that this was God speaking to Samuel. And he said, "Oh my goodness." He realized, he understood, he discerned, he considered. That's the word here. This is the Lord. So he's like saying, "Lord, please understand, perceive, discern my sighing." Now, some of your translations say meditation here, and I don't like that one as well. If it says that, it does mean more. The Hebrew word hagia means like a sighing, even more than a sighing, honestly. If some of your translations might say a groaning, a whispering, a lamenting. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's where you're just like lying in your bed, or you're just like, "Oh God, you feel like you can't even pray, like, oh Lord, just help." You know, you're groaning, you're lamenting. You can hardly get the words out. You're whispering it. It's just like, "I can't take it. That's what he's doing. That's where he's at. But he's taking it to the Lord. And you've maybe been there yourself. Not only that, but it says, not only consider my groanings or my sighings or my lamentings, only used twice in the Bible. And then it says, listen to my cry for help. And that Hebrew word is shava. And that means even to cry out loud. So there's times where he's just lamenting before the Lord. He could barely get it out, groaning. There's times he's shouting out. And I've been there too, even in this past year. "Lord, help." That's all I could kind of get out. Do you know what I mean? "I need you right now. Give me strength. Give me encouragement. And he's faithful to do so. "Heal me, help me, strengthen me, whatever it takes." And he did that for David, and he will do that for you in your time of need. That's who he is. We must go to him. And it says, listen to my cry for help. In verse 2, "My King and my God, for I pray. For to you I pray." He says, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. Now, this is an important thing, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to say this right, so you're just going to have to hear the heart in it. If you have a Bible, I would underline "my" in the "my King" and "my" in "my God," because he is God and he is King, but the question is he your King? Is he your God? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, Jesus is the Savior of the world, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life, regardless of whether you love him or hate him. But is he your Savior? He's the Savior, but is he your Savior? Is it personal? Is it real? Is it relational in your life, right? That little personal pronoun is the difference between heaven and hell. Is it real? Is it relational? Is he... You know, it says in Psalm 23, it doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd, because these promises are for those who have made him my shepherd. They've committed their hearts and lives to him. He said, "Lord, I've given you my heart, my life." You remember Psalm 23? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's ownership in a sense. Do you know what? I got to be careful how I say that, but do you hear the heart in it? I am his and he is mine. Do you know what I mean? It's my shepherd. It's personal. It's real. There's another verse, and I love this. Psalm 74, verses 12 and 13, that says, "God is my King." Do you get it? He's not the king of just the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's my King. From long ago, he brings salvation on the earth. And he does, and he is. Can you say that? This is important. Can you say that Jesus is your King? Can you say, he's my Lord? I remember this. Excuse me. It's been a while since I spoke so much. I remember one time watching this woman. I was talking to this woman, and this woman was communicating. And it was many years ago, 30 years ago. And she was talking. She was talking about my Jesus and my God. Let me tell you what my God has done. My Jesus has done great things for me. My God is amazing. My God, my God, my God, my God. And let me tell you, I started getting offended the more I listened to her. Who does she think she is? My God, my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. It's like she's best friends with him. And I got all angry and offended. But you know what? The reality was, I think many of those years ago, I think I was just jealous of that relationship. I didn't know what I didn't have. Now that I do have that relationship, I see that same thing. He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my best friend. Think about it. When you ask who's Jesus to you, he's not the Savior of the world. He's not, it's not a robotic thing. He's my friend. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my Savior. My. You get it? Does it make sense? Listen, Psalm 18, I love this, verse 2. It's all, even in the Old Testament, it says the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. Oh, I love that. And Jesus, I love Jesus. I love my Jesus. Listen to this too. It says in John 10, 14 and John 10, 27, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know whose sheep? My sheep. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and then they follow me. And by the way, the verse after this, I don't have it on the screen, verse 28, it's beautiful. You can look it up for yourself and underline it, highlight it. John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, and I give them eternal life, it says, and no one can snatch them out of my hand, because it's personal, it's real, it's relational. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Listen, even Paul said this. Paul wasn't shy about it. Let me tell you about my God, he says, right? He says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's the package. That's the provision. My God will do that for you. My God has done that for me, and my God will do that for you. If you have that relationship, that born-again relationship with him, he will supply all your needs. Now, maybe not all your wants or all your demands, but he will supply all your needs. Amen? Now listen, folks, Revelation 17 says, we will glorify the King of Kings, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Listen, he is not just the King of Kings, he's my King of Kings, because I have been called, chosen, and faithful because of him. I have laid down my life. I've asked him to come into my heart and life. I've said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I am in need of you. I want you to come into my heart and my life. I want you to make me more like you. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I know you died on the cross for me. You rose again from the dead. I put my faith and trust, as much as I understand it, as much as I know how, right now, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. I'm giving my life over for you. I don't want to be that person I was, and I want to follow you. You are now my king. Before, I was the king. I was on the throne. I did what I wanted first. And if God came in there, maybe he was, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth place. No, he is the king, and I'm putting you first. Revelation 19:16 says, and he has on his robe when he comes back, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. you better make sure at that time. Actually, you should make sure right now. Don't harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't done that, if you haven't made that personal relationship with him and given your heart over to life and your life to Jesus, you got to do it now. Because when he comes back again, he's not coming back as the suffering servant savior. He's coming back in judgment. And then it'll be too late. So give your life over to him now. Right now. Because folks, if you're a Christian, Christ is either Lord of all, Hudson Taylor said, or he's not Lord at all. We can put idols in our life, can't we? A spouse can be an idol, husband, wife. Kids can be an idol, your job, finances. What takes precedent over what the Lord says in your life? That's an idol. What or who are you putting first? Well, I know God wants me to do this, but I'm just going to sleep with my boyfriend anyway, my girlfriend anyway. Well, then you're putting him or her in an idolatrous spot above the Lord. Well, I know I should run my business in a godly way, but we got to make some money, so I'm going to rip people off. Listen, you can make money all you want, but you don't take advantage of people. You don't rip them off. That's ungodly. That means money is your God. That's an idolatrous relationship that needs to be torn down. Does that make sense, guys? He is, like David says here, he's my king and my God. He's the king. So here's a question for you. Is he the king in your life? Right? David says, listen to my cry for help, my king and my God. Is he your king? Can you say that he is Lord of all in your life? If not, you need to make that right for him. Well, I love the Lord. It's just that I'm going to stay addicted to these pills or the porn or the whatever it is in your life that's destroying you. God says, no. Cut that sin. Throw it away. Don't do it. God wants to give you victory and joy and freedom. That's our God. He says, listen to my cry for help, for to you I pray. Now, this sounds kind of simple, right? For to you I pray. But I love what R.A. Torrey says. He says this. He says, very much of so-called prayer, both public and private, is really not unto God. Wow, I don't like that this is cutting off some of the words. We'll have to get this fixed too. I just noticed that. That's frustrating. Apologize for that. In order that a prayer should be really unto God, there must be a definite and conscious approach to God when we pray. We must have a definite and vivid realization that God is bending over us and listening as we pray. Again, it goes back to relationship with God. Knowing that we just don't just say some words up into space and move on. Our God knows us. He hears our voice. He loves us. It's relational. It's intimate. My God, I'm his kid. That's how we're supposed to be. Does that make sense? He goes on to say, in verse 3, if you look at your Bibles with me in Psalm 5, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation. Man, listen to that. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Now, can I be honest with you guys? I don't really like that it says that. What? You see, some of us are wired differently. Some of us are up at 5 a.m., marching around, doing their thing, praising the Lord, hey, whatever. And some of us are night owls. I go to bed around midnight to 2 a.m. That's my normal bedtime hours, okay? And then I get up, I don't know, 7, 8, something like that. But the Bible says, in the morning, oh Lord, you hear my voice. Oh. Now, if it was me, if I was selfish and self-centered, I would say, hey, in those late hours of the evening, then you can seat me, then get with me, then I'll really speak to you. But it doesn't say that. It says in the morning. Now, I'm not trying to be legalistic here. God is going to hear you anytime, day or night. Got it? But I think there's something special about coming to the Lord in the morning that the God is trying to say to us. The exact same word is used in Psalm 143, verse 8. Oh, I hate that. It's getting cut off. The scripture getting cut off. Oh, Lord. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. It says, look, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Start off in Jesus' name. Thank you, George. Thank you. God bless you. Start off in the morning. Trust the Lord right now. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Man, there's something about starting the morning in the word or in prayer or with the Lord that sets the tone for the whole day, right? It prepares our hearts for the rest of the day, our marching orders. Hudson Taylor said this. This is my Hudson Taylor Day quote day. He says, do not have your concert first and then tune your instruments afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with him. Does that make sense? God is saying, look, get with me early in the morning. Do you know what Hudson Taylor used to do? This is crazy to me, but God bless his heart. He was a missionary in China, brought the word of God. Now there's underground churches in China all over the place. Still, from this day, started, created by him. God used him. He was having a hard time, folks, getting up early and having time to pray and do devotions, and there's so much stuff going on, even ministry-wise, for God. So here's what he did. He started getting up at 2 a.m. so that he could spend time in the Word alone and in prayer alone. If you look in Mark chapter 1, it talks about, you can read it for yourself for homework, Mark chapter 1, Jesus, right? The Savior of all of us, our example, it says that he actually left after healing bunches of people, right, in the town, right? Had a fantastic, was up all night healing folks. It says that he got up early in the morning. I would have said, I've been healing people, helping people, preaching, I'm going to sleep in. But not Jesus. He got up early, met with the Father early in the morning. And then the Lord said, God told him, you need to go to another city. He got his marching orders. Get up early. This is another thing I found, and I don't know if I find myself praying in the evening a lot of times instead of the morning. What usually happens if I do it in the morning and spend time in the morning, my wife is really great at that. Spending time in the word and prayer in the morning, it sets her whole day, and she's good to help me to try to do that as well. But if I do that in the morning, it sets the right attitude, right heart for the day. If I do it at the end of the day, I found myself more like, Lord, forgive me for not acting right today. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Because I didn't start the day tuning my instruments before the concert. Does that make sense? Start your day off. I love, this is a different word, but the same heart. Proverbs 8:17. I love how the King James Version says this. I love them that love me. And this, to me, says this also. And I love those that seek me early. Those that seek me early shall find me. Wow. What a wonderful scripture that is, isn't it? Those that seek me early. Now, again, that's not what I wanted to say, but it's what it says. So I have to adjust myself to what, if I want to find the Lord, I got to get up. I got to do it. The word in Hebrew is shakar. And most translations will say, seek me early. It'll say, they seek me diligently. But it actually means to search out at dawn, to seek in the morning, to inquire early. That's what that means. God wants us to seek him first, not last. There's a time in Exodus chapter 16. And to me, it's a picture. It's a picture. In Exodus chapter 16, the Israelites, you remember Moses was leading them out of Egypt. You remember that story, right, from Pharaoh, right? Let my people go. And they went out in the Egypt. They were in, guess what? The desert of sin, interestingly enough. And they started to grumble and complain in this desert of sin. Huh, how appropriate. And it said, he said to them, The Lord said to Moses, because they were grumbling about they didn't have enough food or what things to eat that they liked, it would have been better if we would have died in Egypt, we would have had more food then. And it says in verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough just for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. And then in verse 21, it goes on to say, each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. Interesting that the King of Kings, the bread from heaven, right? Our manna, said, I want you to go out every morning, early in the morning, and I want you to collect that manna. And it said that everybody got just enough. If they gathered a ton of it, somehow there was just enough. If they gathered a little bit, somehow there was just enough for that day. Now, here's the thing. If they tried to save that manna, save it up for the week, save it up for the day, the next day, do you know what happened to that manna? It rotted. There were maggots in it. It's spoiled. We can't read the Bible one time on a Monday morning and set ourselves for the week. It doesn't work that way. God gives you enough for that day. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. When you read that word, he's feeding you spiritually. I don't eat. I probably could. I love to eat. Okay. Who said you could tell? That's not nice. I love to eat. Okay, but I don't eat on a Monday and think I'm going to last the week. That would be crazy, right? Same thing spiritually. Do you want to do that? Do you want to eat one day and then go the rest of the week without food? No. No, that's not good for you. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. You get it? This is an important principle. I think God is trying to teach us and show us through illustrations. Seek him early. Listen to this. Pastor Darren, you're beating a dead horse. I get it now. Well, good. I want to give you a little bit more. Psalm 63:1 in the New King James Version. This is my King James day. It says, joy, this is talking about joy in the fellowship of God. When David was in the wilderness of Judah, he says, oh God, you are my God. Ha! You remember that? My God? Early, it says, I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Listen, it is getting drier and darker. There's becoming a famine of really hearing the word of God in hearts. Early, will you seek him? Will you get alone with him? Will you read a chapter a day, keeps the enemy at bay, and two or more will kick him out of the door? Let that word refresh you, wash over you, cleanse you every day. When I used to go out every day, I would shower every day. I shower today. You should be thankful, all of you. I don't shower once and then think that's going to last 2 weeks. I let the wash, just like spiritually, the washing of the water of the word cleanse me from all that dirt every day and that stink. That's what God wants early in the morning. Pastor Gary, how long have I been teaching? Okay. Anybody know when I started? Oh, no. Huh. Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to go on a little bit more. Maybe I so wanted to get through this psalm. Hey, on the positive side, listen, if I don't get through this psalm today, guess what? We're going to figure out some way. If I have to put up my own little separate projector up here for you to see an illustration, or we have to get a whole new system to show you this illustration, Lord willing, if God wants to have, we're going to show it to you. So if we continue on to Psalm 5, I'll be able to show you that illustration next week in Jesus' name. So, it says, verse 3, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. It says, listen to this. In the morning, it says, I lay my requests before you. Or some of your translations say, I will direct my prayers before you and wait in expectation. Now, I like this. That word to lay out my requests in verse 3, do you see it? Or to direct my prayers. That word direct or lay out, the Hebrew word there is arak. And that means to arrange, in order, an orderly, purposeful preparation. So he's not coming just to God willy-nilly. He's almost has like a little prayer list. You know, when I was younger in the Lord, I thought people who, I'll be honest with you, don't get mad at me. When I was very young in the Lord, I thought people who had a little prayer closet or war room or had a list of people that they wanted to pray for each day or they would post up, and I thought, how legalistic. I'm just going to be really spiritual and just you know, whatever I feel at that moment. But now, as I'm older, can I just be honest with you? God bless you if you have that prayer room and that prayer closet. God bless you if you have that prayer list of people and things you're praying for consistently. You're prepared. That's the word here. That's the word. I lay out my prayers before you. I direct my prayers before you in Hebrew. I arak. And just for the for you guys who are interested, you know, it was that same word was also used to describe the placing of the pieces of the animals. Sacrifices on the altar, you'd have to do it in an orderly fashion, the Bible told them to do. That's the same word here. You did it in an orderly fashion. It says here, it also described the arranging of the wood on the altars of the Lord. Even when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, do you remember that? He went up on Mount Moriah. Oh, here's a little thing, by the way. When I was in Israel the first time, many years ago, 25 years ago, I realized that Mount Moriah, where Abraham sacrificed his only son, was the exact place where God was a picture, because it was the exact place where God sacrificed his only son, Jesus Christ. So it says when he went up there for 3 days, it says God will provide himself a lamb, right? All that was a picture for us. But anyway, it says that even the arranging of the wood as he was going to sacrifice his one and only son as a picture for us, the arranging of the wood was even an orderly fashion. There was some order that God had to it. That's that word here. And even the placing of the bread on the table in the tabernacle, they had these golden, solid gold tables and in the tabernacle. And that was in Leviticus 24:8. They would place them in a certain way, an orderly way. 12 loaves of bread, total of 6. They would place them on there every so they would be available every Sabbath. Bread would be fresh every day. Another picture for us, right? It says he did it in an orderly way. Same word, laying it out. Or the setting of a fellowship meal, right? In Psalm 23, verse 5 or 6, I will prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, right? I will set the table. I'll prepare it all for you. Nobody's going willy-nilly to prayer. They're setting the table. They're preparing the table. That's what he's saying. Prepare your heart as you go into prayer. Lord, get my heart right. Who do you want me to pray for? Start putting people on my mind. Put things on my heart. What can I pray for today? Listen to this. That word, arak, right here, I lay it before, I direct my prayer. It was also a military term used for a soldier who would have to go up to his commanding officer to find out his orders for the day. In that same way, I'm laying out my prayers before you. God is saying, David is saying, I'm laying them out. I'm coming to you for orders. I don't know what to do here, God. I am overwhelmed. Have you been there? I don't know what to do. But God, I'm coming to you. My eyes are on you. Will you speak to me? Will you let me know I'm praying for these things? And then listen. Verse 3 says, listen, it says, and I wait in expectation. That word means eagerness, anticipation, confidence. Now, here's the thing. When you pray, is it just, okay, Lord, bless this person, blah, 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 and then you move on with your life? Or maybe some of us who have been walking with the Lord have lost that eager expectation. Listen, David's saying, I'm praying. I'm laying it out before you. Now I'm waiting for the answer. I'm waiting to see what you're going to do, Lord. Is that you? Do you have that expertise? Have you lost it? Perhaps you've lost it over time. God is saying, get it back. I want you to have that expectation, that confidence in me. That's what he's saying. I want you to have that for me. And it says, wait in expectation. Can I be honest with you? I am not a good waiter. Well, actually, was a server for many years, so I was a pretty good waiter. But I'm not a good wait. How do I say that? Good at waiting. Thank you. Hebrew words and then good at waiting. Right. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not very good at that. I'm not very patient. The Lord has to help me with that and work in me. Right. But he wants us to hear from him. Sometimes we can just spout it off and it's a monologue to God. Boy, that person can preach a good prayer. You don't want that said of you. You want to be real before the Lord, and you want to, but also listen. What is your answer, O Lord? What's your command? I'm going to my commander. I'm laying it out before you. Okay, I don't have this up on the screen. And so this is in Ecclesiastes. Listen, this is in Ecclesiastes. I'm going to try to find it on the fly because I don't have a note here even where it is. I'm thinking it's Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is what's coming to mind. So please forgive me and bear with me for a minute. I know we're live, but if the Lord's pressing something on my heart, then I usually, it would be a good idea to stop and figure out where that is. Okay, so listen. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God, right? And it says, go near to listen in Ecclesiastes 5:1. Listen, when you're praying and when you're giving those prayer requests, when you're laying them out, that's wonderful. But also, wait in expectation for those marching orders. Maybe you're going to go in a different direction. Don't direct God. He doesn't say, I'm going to direct you in what I'm going to do today in my prayers. No, I'm going to you. I'm laying it out, and I want you to direct me. Does that, it's a big difference. What do you want me to do in this situation? I think I should do this. But God, what do you want? You tell me, and I'm going to march. Give me the marching orders. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, Jesus. Does that make sense, kiddos? Oh, I've got some good stuff. I just don't know if I should go further. Okay. Listen to this. This is a quote from Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher. You ready? Here you go. He says, this is a little teaching he gave in about getting with God in the a.m., the early morning hours. He says, this is the fittest time for connecting with God. He said, this is not my word, so don't get mad at me. An hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon your soul. Isn't that awesome? Folks, I wish, I can't make you seek him. But if you will seek him, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, I believe, seek him first. Now that, in my mind, means seek him first, make him the first place in his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you then. What we want as selfish, self-centered people, we want to be able to seek him when we feel like it. But I think the Lord wants us not only to seek him first, meaning first place, because he's my king and my God, but maybe also to seek him first early in the morning as your day starts out for that fresh manna. Let the Lord's word wash over you. Prepare your heart for the day. Prepare your heart for what is to come so that you can be that witness, so you could have that word on your tongue, that response in your heart in a godly way, instead of at the end of the day when you're just asking forgiveness for everything that you did wrong because you waited until then to read the word. Start off with him, even if it means getting up early, even if it means setting some time aside or a little place. My wife in our house did a really fantastic thing. She rearranged the furniture so that we have one chair. It's in the absolute dorkiest spot, just to be honest with you, right in front of our lanai. It doesn't match anything. Right in front of the lanai doors. Okay, because it's so hot out there and her skin can't take the heat because of the eczema. It's a weird. It's one chair in the middle, and it doesn't belong. But you know what? That's the spot where she can get out and look out as she's doing the doggy business and read the word and get with the Lord. She's rearranged everything else in the house. Isn't that neat? Around my time with the Lord. It might not look pretty, right? But the response that she gives throughout the day is pretty because she's focused on the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I want to do what God says and seek him early. have that fresh manna, that fresh word. I want to go to him in prayer, lay it out, and then I want to listen for his answer and watch for his responses throughout the day. That's the kind of person I want to be. So what I'm going to do, as there's no possible human way, as it's already been, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour, that I could get through the rest of these verses. We get through Psalm 5, 1 through 3. We'll do the rest of these verses next week. And you're going to see this illustration, and you're going to see the rest of this psalm, and we're going to hear David's heart cry. And we're going to go through it together. And Pastor Gary, I'm so thankful about you opening up the church again. I'm so thankful for all these folks that are here way before I get here every morning, setting up, you know, the Weavers and George and Lisa camera people, Pastor Gary. They're all these people are doing all these things. And when we have more people here, there's more people serving. You guys are so wonderful. Somehow, we've been shut down for 3 months. Somehow, tithes are still coming in. You're clicking on that button or you're mailing in. Somehow, God's still keeping us afloat. Unbelievable, supernatural God thing. As we seek him, we can trust him. Through these difficult times, just through every time. Hey, you're going to die. Hey, you're going to die. Hey, you're going to die. Hey, I'm still here. Hey, I'm still teaching the word. Ha! How about them apples? And not because of me, because of the Lord. Amen? You can trust him. Seek him early. Let's pray, and we'll stop for today. Know that, guys, if you're listening today, I love you, and I'm very thankful for you. I'm thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for all you folks here that are here with us even today. I am so grateful in the Lord, and I honestly, sincerely pray for God to bless you, and I want to do that. So let's stop right now and pray. Father, bless your children, Lord, your faithful servants, Lord, who serve, who give, who live for you, Lord God. Bless them with strength. Lord, honor them with commitment. With protection, Lord God. With prayer, Lord God, that they may learn to hear your voice and to obey your commands, Lord. Not because they have to, because they want to, because they can say in their hearts, you are my king, you are my God, and I love you. Lord, let that be the heart cry of everyone here that hears this message, Lord. Bless your people here at Home Fellowship and those people that are away right now, Lord God, and those people listening in the different states, and even I heard even now in different countries, Lord. Bless them, Lord, beyond measure, Lord, beyond what we could do, Lord. Draw them into such a close relationship with you that the love of the Lord emanates from them, that the light of the Lord shines brightly in these dark times, Lord God. So that people can see and want something different, and we can introduce them to you, Jesus, our King of Kings, my King of Kings, and my Lord of Lords. We love you and we bless you, and we pray for your blessing upon your people, upon your church, upon your school, Lord, here and abroad. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Join Pastor Gary on the Zoom meetings for the discipleship courses, for the men's group, for the prayers. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to getting back with you soon. Our God is faithful. My God is faithful. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys and have a great week in Jesus' name.